Can you just finish off what we didn't complete on Thursday?
So it'll probably be a shorter class today. And we won't have a class on Thursday, we won't have a class on Sunday. But I'll be here. Is that okay? Okay. Okay, right now. Then you have plenty of time to do your homework. Which I suspect that not a lot of people are doing. I don't know why I get that feeling, but somehow I get the feeling. People aren't doing their homework. But to be quite frank with you, you know, if my realisation is that there's a lot of, especially that last section, very interesting. Krishna has discussed say from 13 till, what have we got? We've got three sections that we've just looked at. Who can tell me, we'll do a little bit of revision. Who can tell me what were the verse numbers for the last section that we just did?
30 to 40.
Huh? Is that right? That was the second to last section, wasn't it?
Last Sunday was 31 to 38.
31?
Last Sunday was 31 to 38.
To 38, okay, yeah. And what do we do on Thursday? 39 to 49, wasn't it?
9 to 49.
That's what I thought, yep.
48.
8. I'll have a look and see where we were supposed to have gotten up to. Might have been up to 49. And then before, what do we have?
11 to 40.
11 to 30.
Yeah.
11 to 30. Okay, yeah, that's good. What do we have before that?
1 to 10.
1 to 10. Right, that's all that's left.
So what about 20 to 30, Prabhu?
Huh?
20 to 30 is missing.
11 to 20.
11 to 30. 11 to 20. Last Thursday, 6th of July, was 20 to 30.
11 to 20, Prabhu.
Who's paying attention? Who's got one of the workbooks here? Student's handbook. Student's worksheet book. This will tell us. I'm good to see that you're paying attention to the sections that we're doing. No, it doesn't say in here, does it?
It was 11 to 19.
Okay, good man. Here we go. It was 1 to 13. 14 to 23. 24 to 36. Is that right? This doesn't look right.
No, we don't know that.
This is not right. Where'd you get this from? This is what Keshava did. It's not what we've done. Huh?
1 to 10, 11 to 19.
1 to 10, 11
to 19.
11
to 19.
11 to 19, yeah.
20 to 30.
20 to 30. 20
to 30. 20 to 30.
38. 39
to
48. 48. Okay. That looks better. That looks more like what I did. Now, what was in the first section? Arjuna's doubts. Yeah, that's good enough. Righty-o. What was in 11 to 19?
None.
Huh?
None.
Jnana Yoga. What else is it described as?
Sankhya.
Sankhya. What does Jnana Yoga mean?
Well, because there's so many, you probably have to put your hand up, I suspect, to be practical. Probably wrong?
We are not the body, we are the soul.
Just we're not the body, we're the soul. What about Sankhya? What does that mean?
Analytical study of the material world.
Analytical study, yes. In one sense, we're trying to work out what is spirit and what is matter. Right? Knowledge means to know the difference between the two, Prabhupada says. What is knowledge, what is spirit and what is matter? In this section, there's one verse that you should memorize. What's the number of that verse?
13.
Who can tell me what that is? Okay. You should know this is an essential verse for preaching. Essential verse for preaching. Okay. Now, in 20 to 30, what did we discuss?
Qualities of soul.
The qualities of the soul. Okay, so that's still Jnana Yoga?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Basically, yes. Yeah. That's a good point. Qualities of the soul. I like that. Yeah. We went through a list of 14 qualities. Can't be burned, can't be dried, can't be withered by the wind, can't be wet, eternal, never born, never dies, all pervading, all pervading. I heard a very interesting, Prabhupada was saying how Krishna, yesterday I was listening to class, Prabhupada was saying, Krishna is everywhere, and he's conscious of everything. We're all pervading, but all pervading where?
Within the body.
Within the body, yes. So if I tread on your toe, then you'll feel it. So the Prabhupada said, Krishna is aware of everything that's going on within the creation, because it's like all part of him, basically. And all pervading is explained as being the soul exists everywhere. Okay, 31 to 38 then dealt with
Swadharma.
What's another term?
Karma
Yoga. Yeah, this is Karma Yoga. Act according to your Swadharma. That's what we discussed. Huh? Although it's interesting in here, Krishna encourages Arjuna to fight to protect his good name. What's that got to do with karma or swadharma?
Because he's a kshatriya, that's the
problem.
Yeah. Huh? Anybody know why he did that? Why does Krishna encourage Arjuna to fight to protect his reputation?
It's for such a dishonor is worse than death.
Yeah. But why?
It was his duty to fight as a
kshatriya. Okay, it's his duty to fight as a kshatriya. So was he just stirring him up?
Actually, you said at one point that they already died, because even the die with the ruling planets, if not some sort of combination between that. Even if they don't die, if they die, they go to the heavenly planets.
Yeah.
And
that's true. But doesn't answer the question.
Because there are two types of karma yoga actually. So there is another karma yoga for a non-devotee. So that actually fits in.
Does it?
Sort of.
Are you sure?
Like a sort of.
That's the first step. If we take that step, then you can reach the second level of devotion service.
There may not be an answer to this question. No. What do you think, Chaitanya?
Arjuna was giving all the arguments based on the bodily concept.
Yes.
And he was relating all the relatives and brothers and grandfathers based on his bodily relationship.
Yes.
So Krishna wanted him to reach to the platform of Karma Yoga, which is more towards the soul.
Yes.
And as a soul, his duty was to fight as a kshatriya.
Yeah.
And then he can understand the higher knowledge.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
But I think you're getting close to the reason why Arjuna is being stirred up by Krishna. Because Arjuna said previously, I'll be infamous for killing my grandfather and my teacher. I'll become infamous. You know, people will criticize me for fighting. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? And Krishna is saying, rubbish. They'll criticize you if you don't fight. So fight. Of course, that is linked in with this karma yoga, that this is your duty. It's your duty to fight, so therefore fight, which is what Karma points out. Yeah, good. Good, yes.
I think it's talking about infamy and people who dishonor the.
Yeah, for a kshatriya, dishonor is worse than death. But it's sort of like stirring Arjuna up a little bit, stirring him. No, you say you'll be dishonored because you're not fighting. You say you'll be dishonored because you're fighting. Well, I say you'll be dishonored if you don't fight. So that's baloney. You know what the meaning of baloney is? Baloney. Huh? Actually, I won't tell you what the meaning is. What the literal meaning is, I won't tell you, but the implied meaning is it's rubbish. It's rubbish. Right, karma yoga, swadharma. There's another thing that Krishna mentions in that section. What else is it? He's encouraging him. Yes. Fight. You'll be elevated to the heavenly planets. Why does he do that? Why does Krishna? It's interesting, isn't it? Why does Krishna encourage Arjuna to fight to be elevated to the heavenly planets? Right. When later on, actually, what he wants to do is encourage him to engage in buddhi yoga or bhakti yoga. So why does he do that?
He's trying to say how buddhi yoga is the topmost yoga, even better than going to heavenly planets.
But why didn't he just say that?
He's refuting all of the arguments that he has raised, which are material arguments.
Yes, that's a good point.
And in order to build up to the next transcendent.
Up to the next level.
Arjuna also says that by killing these people I might go to hellish planets to suffer.
Yeah.
But Krishna says by fighting you will go to heavenly planets.
Yes, that's a good point. That supports what Arjuna is saying. That's the argument that he's using. Arjuna says, I'll go to hell. Krishna says, no, you go to the heavenly planets, fine. It looks like Arjuna hasn't actually won a trick yet. Do you know what I mean by won a trick? No, he plays bridge. Okay, anyway. When you're playing bridge, each person gets a 12, how many cards are there? 13 cards each. 13 times 4 is 52, right? And you show your cards. And whoever's got the highest card wins that trick. It's called a trick. It's a round, if you like. Until you've... Don't worry about it. Okay, karma yoga, swadharma. Now what? What's the next... What did we discuss on Thursday?
Buddhi yoga.
Buddhi yoga. I don't know about you, but for me, this was much more exciting than any of the others. And it's interesting, there's so much in Prabhupada's purports for this particular section on buddhi yoga. Why? Buddhi yoga is synonymous with what?
Bhakti yoga.
Bhakti, yes. Synonymous with bhakti. What were the two types of karma yoga which were free from material desire that we were discussing the other day? Nishkam Karma Yoga. It's interesting. At the end of this section, Krishna finishes by saying, perform your duty, be detached from the... Because initially he's saying, yes, fight and go to the heavenly planets.
Right? Then he's saying, no, fight with detachment. And then you'll be free from reaction. Right? Because he said, Arjuna is saying, if I fight, I'll get simple reactions. How can I enjoy? And Krishna says, fight and go to the heavenly planets and you'll enjoy. Right? But then he says, no, fight detached. Fight with detachment. And that's where we... And it's interesting, isn't it? Because in this section here, Krishna explains, if you're going to be bewildered by whether you go to the heavenly planets and suffer, or whether you go to the... Sorry, if you go to the hellish planets and suffer, or whether you go to the hellish planets to enjoy, then you'll be bewildered by that. But you'll be the cause then of future reactions and future suffering, whichever way you go, really, basically. So then he's saying, in order to be free from those kind of reactions, fight detached. Fight in a detached way. Kamanya bodhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana, which means no fruit any time, basically. Right? Don't be attached to the fruits of your results. But work in a detached way. What doing? Offering the result to me. So we get into this Nishkam Karma Yoga, and then eventually the higher level of Nishkam Karma Yoga, which is renouncing the fruits of one's activities by offering the activity to Krishna, which is what we're supposed to be doing, right? Or which we are doing. Hands up all of those who are offering all of their activities to Krishna. I asked you this the other day, didn't I? Okay. Hands up those who are offering 75% to Krishna. Not even 75%. Okay, Prabhupada recommends 50%. Hands up those who are offering 50%. Okay, that means you must be less 50. You reckon you're doing about 50. That's good. How about 25%? Who's offering at least 25% to Krishna? Got a couple of takers at 25%. 12.5%? Oh, God. I would have thought that you'd be doing a lot better than that. Okay. All right. 12.5. What's half of 12.5? 6.25. You know, math is not your... not your major, huh? What are you majoring in, Prabhupada?
Chemical.
Don't you have to be able to add up with the chemistry?
We do it on the...
We use a calculator, huh? I could never calculate those for the next. Alright, well that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? If we're all offering less than 12.5% to Krishna, then we've definitely got a way to go. Sorry?
Vasha Puja,
yes. A dollar a day. You must be offering more than that to Krishna, I'm sure of it. I think you're just being humble. Polite. Don't want to brag. Right?
Offering means financial or labor, what is it? How do you quantify this?
How do you quantify it?
Yeah.
Your time? What are the kind of things that we can offer to Krishna?
Mind.
Right, so we can think of Krishna, right? That's generally is highly recommended. Right? If we're thinking of Krishna, then naturally what will happen? We'll start speaking about Krishna. What's on the mind will come out on the tongue, right? Mm-hmm. And then body means what?
Action.
Action.
Okay? So, and how can we calculate that? How many hours are there in a day? 24, right? Maybe that comes down here. We can 24 hours think about Krishna, there's 24 hours we can work for Krishna. Words, everything that we can say can be related to Krishna also. Same amount.
So we're chanting time, praying time at home and everything.
Yes, okay. Yeah. If you're chanting 16 rounds, there's a couple of hours a day dedicated to Krishna.
2.5 to 3 hours.
2.5 to 3 hours, okay. So that's out of 24, what? 12.5%. Okay, so we're getting that. If you're chanting 16 rounds a day, then pretty much you're getting up to 12.5%. Well, I would think that if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you must be doing something for Krishna as well. Right? Some service? Right? Some preaching? Sorry. Who's doing some preaching? You're doing some preaching, eh? You're just being humble, you guys.
By our behavior, we do the preaching, brother, in my opinion.
That's true also. But that means you're also then spending more than just 12.5 hours serving Krishna. Yeah? And, you know, say we're not able to, say our activities here, say we're a householder, which most of us here are, and we're working, then we're maintaining our family and so forth. It's interesting, it's a topic of discussion on the GBC conference at the moment. You know, Prabhupada encourages us to give 50% of our income to Krishna, which is, you know, maybe quite a bit of a challenge for us, right? If you've got a mortgage, you've got to send your children to school, pay medical, right? But the Prabhupada said that's the standard, if you like. In order to convert this action, which is, you know, basically for, you know, who do you work for? Melbourne Water. Right? Who do you work for?
No, I have.
Tax office. Tax office, okay. Tax office, Melbourne Water. Who are you working for now, Chetan?
Sorry.
Who are you working for now? Telstra. Okay. Most, we're dedicating our activities to Telstra, Melbourne Water, and what's the other one?
Tax
office. Tax office, right? Who are you working for, Prabhu Rao? Coles Myer, right? So the way it's recommended by Krishna is we transfer some of that activity is by giving the results of that work, which is karma, yoga, right? We give the results of some of that work to Krishna. Give a donation to the preachers. We can do some preaching ourselves, but we can convert some of that activity. Okay. Ideal is 50%. Why is 50% good? Why is giving 50% to Krishna good?
Because at least the most part of time is a devotee for Krishna. Like 50% is the barrier. Like if you are doing less than that, it means you are more into Maya.
At least 50% gives you something left over to look after your family and kids and everybody, right? But really, what does it do to you?
Does 50% mean like you give 50% of your gross income or after tax? Because 30% goes in tax, and if you give 50%, then it's left is 20%.
Let's look. If you can do 50% of your gross, that's good. Right? But no, you know, you don't count your income as your gross amount.
So
you count your
savings.
Income what you get in your hand. Isn't it?
But again, from that, if you pay mortgage and all the electric bill, gas bill, all the...
Take expenses out.
Yeah, and then the savings we count as our left out and we give 50% on that.
It's interesting. Prabhupada says, Rupa Goswami's example is, when he retired, he gave 50%.
But that was his savings.
25% he gave to his family, the other 25% he distributed to the brahmanas.
But he also did some for He also kept some for his own security.
Yeah, he kept some. So that's one example that Prabhupada gives. But the other example, there's another example where Prabhupada, Raja Bihari put it out, and he said, in a lecture where Prabhupada says, you get your pay, and you take out 50%, and you give that to Krishna, then you use the rest for gas, electricity, da-da-da-da-da. So Prabhupada was quite specific about what he meant. It's not like it's not that it's unclear what Prabhupada meant by 50%. But why is that beneficial while we're on the 50%? Why is it beneficial? Why would it be good for a devotee? Kalavetra Sridhar is a good example.
That way we can think about Krishna a lot of time.
Yes, very good. We can think about Krishna a lot of the time. Then Krishna, I don't have any money. How am I going to survive? Please protect me. Huh? Anyway, this is Karma Yoga coming into Buddha Yoga. Because, you know, when a devotee gives everything to Krishna, then he's very much dependent dependent. Otherwise, if you're keeping the money, what do you if you've got a lot of money in the bank account, how do you feel?
Spent.
Huh?
Spent.
Great.
You feel good, huh?
Thank you.
I got money, nobody can touch me. I can do what I like. Huh? Of course, it's all illusion, but it gives you that sense of, I can enjoy.
But doesn't mean, Prabhu, that if you are secure, you can spend most of time in devotional service?
Yes, if that's what you do. Huh? Certainly.
Prabhu, I'll clarify one thing, Prabhu. Like, I was discussing with Krishna Prabhu once regarding donations and everything.
Yeah.
If a person earns like $3,000 after tax,
This sounds like Chaitanya's dilemma. Yeah, go on. I'm sure you guys can do math.
So
you work for the bank, don't you?
No. I'm not really asking for mathematics.
I'm pulling your leg.
What I'm asking is, what exactly is the meaning of offering? What exactly of doing donation? In my sense is, if you're saving $500 a month, for example, generally speaking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think so. If you're saving and giving the money, it's also part of a donation as well. But if you're giving and totally thinking to Krishna, put into words like...
Look, there is a difference between thinking, I'll put this in the bank and I'll keep it for Krishna.
But the real donation is not exactly to save money and to give, but whatever you have, if you feel that, you know, I'm saving $500, we give around $200 to the Krishna and the temple, that's the main sort of a donation. Instead of you think, okay, I'll give twice a month $200.
Yeah, that's good. If you can do that, that's good. Look, I'm not forcing you to give anything, actually. Just to entertain this idea of what does it mean to give everything to Krishna? We're so attached to our money that that's always a good one to zero in on, because if you're giving 50% of your earnings, then you're a real bhakta. Right? Like, there's not many people who can do it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's one of the reasons why we should respect, say, the brahmacharis and those householders who are not that I want to promote that necessarily, but why we respect the renunciation of those who do that. They go out and work, and then everything they get, they give to Krishna. Right? Goes in that little slot. He has a door in the treasury. It's got a hole in it. And then whatever they get, they put it in through that hole. Right? And then, okay, they make it. The devotees get, you know, we get fed, we get clothes. But generally speaking, those devotees live on a fairly minimal amount. That's respectable, right? Respectable. And comes closer to here. Now, it doesn't mean that because we're householders, we can't come close to this, right? So generally it's recommended, whatever we can give, we should give something, right? And we have to be practical. You want to buy a house, you've got to look after your family, you need education for your children. You know, the days of just taking everything from everybody, okay, come on, surrender to Krishna. You misers, come on. Is
really old-fashioned in one sense, because we've got to protect and look after our community. But at the same time, everybody hangs on to everything. Where's our devotion? Which is what Manaji pointed out. If you're giving to Krishna and leaving it up to him, right, then you're going to be thinking of Krishna. And that's devotional service. Does that help?
Yes.
So, yeah, no, whatever we give is good.
Yeah. Okay. There are two ways of giving. One is directly to Krishna, and some other people, they give to charity also. Do you think it is considered as, it is a good act, but we are not giving to Krishna. So,
yes.
Do you think it is?
What is it? What is that? Who'd like to say?
There was one point when this point was raised in the same hall, Prabhu, when Devrat Maharaj came like a couple of years back.
Yeah.
And one devotee says, you know, normally give to Oxfam and to other people as like UNICEF and anything.
Yeah.
But Maharaj says that what exactly guarantee that when you're paying the money, you're not feeding, you're not distributing to the people in the overseas. And you're getting a bad reaction directly.
Yeah, what kind of charity might that? There's three types of charity. There's charity in the mode of goodness, charity in the mode of passion, and charity in the mode of ignorance. Which category might that fall into?
Passion or ignorance.
Passion or ignorance. Because, you know, Glenn, you were going to make a comment then?
I was going to say there's three types of charity.
Goodness, passion, and ignorance. Yes.
And there is a story like Queen Mirga, how difficult it is to make charity and how difficult the rules are to make charity.
He made a mistake.
Yes, and he had to take burgers and design and stuff.
Yeah.
So it is very difficult in this age to give charity actually.
Probably. Yeah. Yes. If you're going to give in charity, we would recommend Hare Krishna Food for Life. Because at least it's going to the devotees, and it's for sarana distribution. Oxfam, UNICEF is good. From a material calculation, it's good. It's not bad.
Like, say, medical
help.
Facilities, help for the...
Yeah, but it's, you know, what is it in India? There's a, you know, service to man is service to God.
Yeah.
Right?
Service to mankind is service to God.
But that's not correct. Service to God is service to God. Service to the devotees is service to God. Right? But just service to man could be all sorts of things. Right? Can be all sorts of things. Whereas Krishna is... Sorry?
If you do this donation or charity to the time of earthquakes or any time and offer the results to Krishna, does it also, does not mean that you are doing...
But how are you offering the result to Krishna?
But what are the good results which are coming? Is
here we are, Krishna,
alive.
This is for you.
Yes, what are the same?
But that's not, that's...
Because of that can also be offered to Krishna. The karma which is coming, the good karma which is coming can also be offered to Krishna.
Maybe probably however like this.
if what are you actually doing? See, what does Krishna say, offering to me? What is offering to Krishna? What does Krishna say offering to Krishna is? Yeah. Yat karoshi yat. But what does it mean to give to Krishna? Krishna, I'm now giving you my good karma. Krishna doesn't need our good karma. How can he accept it? What was doesn't make sense? When you think about it. Anybody like to comment on that?
How about if we donate to the preachers or like sannyasis who go out during the earthquake and help those people?
Sannyasis? Food for life. As I said, they're distributing prasadam. They're chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Distributing prasadam.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what did Prabhupada say? What was the example? There's one example in here that we were reading a couple of weeks ago. What was the example given? Prabhupada gave this very strong example. What is it? About charity given to in a materialistic way and how it benefits people. What example does Prabhupada give? It's in one of the purports. In relationship to swimming.
giving you a hint.
Saving the dress of the outward.
Yes, saving the coat of a drowning man. Right? What's the point of saving the coat? We go out and swim and we grab the drowning man and we drag him back, but in the process we lose the man and we bring back his coat. Oh, look, I've saved him. No. So Prabhupada's, the point being that we need to focus on the spirit soul and not the material body, which is one of the arguments that Arjuna's been using. So just looking after people's material bodies is like taking the coat of the drowning man. It doesn't actually save him. We want to look after the spirit soul, so that's why we don't encourage philanthropic activities at the material level, because all it does is look after the external material body. It doesn't look after the soul. And as Prabhupada points out, you know, we're all going to die. We may save you today. It's like I was listening to the radio this morning, switched on the radio to see what was going on, and it was Macca on a Sunday. I don't know if you know Macca on a Sunday, but it's a program that goes all over Australia. And there's a man in China, and he said, "We're in Shenzhen." It's a tragedy. His wife has cancer, and they do stem cell, you know, research there that they can't do here in Australia because the laws don't allow it. But I was thinking, and he said, "Oh, now my wife can walk unaided." Well, she hasn't been able to do for a long time. And I was thinking, but hang on a second. Whatever you do, sooner or later, each one of us is going to fall over dead. Right? But there's an illusion. We're praying for a miracle.
The Benny Hinn award.
Huh?
The Benny Hinn, which... The Benny Hinn is Christians...
Benny Hinn is Christian evangelist.
Oh, I know. But it's just the miracle that we're looking for is that people awaken their Krishna consciousness. That's more important. Realize who they really are. That's real welfare work, rather than just feed them. You feed them, and what happens? They're hungry again tomorrow. So you've got to feed them again. And sooner or later, each one of us is going to die.
Is there a difference between offering to Krishna also, because like offering to Krishna can be done in different ways, like sponsoring a cow is considered as the highest, giving food is like that. Do we, because in India there is a custom that...
What does Prabhupada say? What does Prabhupada recommend? Giving in charity. What does Prabhupada recommend?
Well, that example of Goswami, but even in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna talks about if you can't do this, do that, and you can't do that, do this. So it's still bhakti.
Yes, that's true. What did Prabhupada consider to be really beneficial charity?
Print the books.
Yes, print the books. What else did he consider good charity?
Distribute prasadam.
What else did he emphasize as being charitable? Distribution, giving people knowledge.
Yeah.
That's really what considered charity. It'd be real charity. Is distributing knowledge. That's the duty of the Brahmanas. Right? What is it? Yajan, Yajan, Patan, Patan, Tadati, Pratikriti, is it? Teachings, performing sacrifices, teaching sacrifices, studying the Vedas, giving knowledge, accepting in charity, giving in charity is a Brahminical activity, is giving knowledge to people. Anyway, is that okay? I was a bit hard on you, wasn't I?
No, actually my doubt is, at that point of time they need medicines also along with the
medicines and clothes and everything, every sort of things along with prasadam.
Yes.
So how can we say only prasadam is important and not the medicines or other parts are not important?
Well, if we're giving them knowledge and we're giving them medicine, then certainly, giving prasadam, then certainly we can give some medicine also. But just to concentrate on those things without the other spiritual
activities. Yeah, definitely. This is also important.
That's what's missing. Right? That's what's
also
missing.
We are fighting for the soul to reach God, you know?
Yes, that's a good point. That's the point. We want the soul to reach Krishna. That's what we focus on. So much suffering. And what can we do about it? Can we stop all of the suffering in the world? Mm-mm. So on the one hand, you know, we don't want to be callous, but we've also got to be realistic. Now, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada and his friend argued, first of all, India has to be liberated before we can help anybody. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, what do you mean liberated? Everybody's in bondage in the material world. We've got to liberate them from the shackles of ignorance. Preach this knowledge. And of course, that's what Prabhupada did. Right? Isn't it? Then we're in a real position to help. I said just get in the karmas. Okay, alright. We've touched on some interesting points here. We didn't quite resolve what it means to offer to Krishna. And what is it that we're offering? You know, we go and work. And we say, Krishna, you can have the good results. I'm not sure whether Krishna recommends that in the Bhagavad Gita. Because it's just like on the mental, it's like a sentimental. Anybody like to comment? Let's say.
Regarding the offering the medicine?
Not offering our, you know, we do something good and then we offer it to Krishna.
So actually, the devotee's mode has to be like, between putting the Krishna in center, we have to enjoy the fruits as next life. So if Mataji is going to offer anything for as a private other than Krishna consciousness, so she will be getting a good result of mode of goodness. So what happens in the end, she has to come back.
No, it's not like that necessarily. You just want to do good for others.
Yeah.
You see somebody suffering and you just want to help them. So that's mode of goodness. That is the mode of goodness. But there is a reaction to that.
But can it be done in a way that if Krishna is kept in a center?
Yes, we already discussed that.
I mean, apart from distribution of prasadam.
And knowledge about Krishna.
I mean, I'll leave that up to you. Is suffering.
I'll leave that up to you to meditate on the rest of the week, okay?
One point, bear in mind. I was reading an email from a person from the Bombay who had a blast and everything.
But his ears shattered.
Yes, sir. So what happened, he took one person, old and young person, to the hospital. And in the meantime, he was not helping because he was also got hurt and everything. But he was trying to preach and say the Lord's name. So in the end, so what Mataji was asking, like, other than giving prasadam, other than giving...
Get them to chant.
So tell them to chant, please.
That's going to help them. Really help them.
So even in the critical state...
But here's an interesting thing, you know. When you're in India, how many times do you get approached for something from a beggar? Depends on which place you happen to be in. And they can tell all of you don't live in India for some reason or other. They know that you come from Australia. So what do you do? What do you do?
Here,
1927.
What
does it say?
Actually,
it
was quite the
nicely,
much charity, etc.
Krishna said,
please give it to me, charity.
Yeah, give it to Krishna. But what do you do? I know in Vrindavan, when I go out in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada encourages, take a whole bunch of paisa, right? And then just give them
50 paisa, 1 rupee, 2 rupees, there's no skin off of our nose, especially in Vrindavan and places like that, then you're giving to the sadhus and the saintly people and the dambasis. Right? So sometimes you can. Practical. We give them a few, you know, what's a few, a rupee or two for us? Huh? Nothing. How many? 5 cents. Because, you know, if I give them a rupee, they'll look at me and get on my case. What do you give me 1 rupee for? 10 rupees at least. Or 100 rupees in the Calcutta airport. 1 rupee. 100 rupees, Prabhu. And some prasadam as well. So it was a Radha Bhava prasadam. Come on. Gonna be better than this.
Just a quote from Shastra. Uddhava asked Krishna, what is charity? And Krishna says the greatest charity is to give up all aggression to others.
Oh,
that's very nice. Give up all aggression to others. Greatest charity. That means completely devoid of fearing others. Because that's, you know, that's one of our main activities, defense. Right?
Well, Prabhuji, when I was young, I was small, in Calcutta I used to see the bowls, these sannyasis to come. They used to chant with some handmade instruments about the Krishna and all those things.
Yeah, the bowls.
Bowls, yes.
Yeah.
And they used to chant and they used to come, they used to go each houses.
Yes.
They had a very simple dress.
They collect their tax.
Tax or whatever.
I know.
But
Arjun Krishna's told me.
In that case, nowadays I don't see all those things.
No.
Or maybe I am not there, but people are
coming down your street now.
But
probably because you're living in Melbourne.
Are there, when I go to Calcutta, I don't see now frequently.
No.
But are there, because now the way of those bowls, they were devotee, can I reckon? Or this, because those are these beggars, they are not devotee.
They are upper sampradaya. So while they're chanting the names of Krishna, they're actually committing offences to the names. And so
they come to
upper sampradaya. Yeah. You know what I mean by upper sampradaya? Upper means outside of the actual sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a list of owls, bowls, and different names of different deviations from Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, pure devotional service. Yeah. Okay, alright. We've now entered, if you like, into the realm of bhakti. Right? Krishna is giving us devotional service, and what he's recommending is pure devotional service. And in pure devotional service, the devotees, we studied this last year in the Nectar of Devotion. Pure devotional service means no motivation for me, I'm doing everything for you, Krishna. Right? It's not stated there, mind you, but that is the conclusion that we'll come to. And more a bit later on. Does anybody have any comments or questions? What do we learn? What can we learn from our discussion?
50% charity.
Huh?
50% donation.
50%?
Of our time.
What? 50% of our time? Yeah. Don't laugh. She's got to do the washing and the cooking and the ironing and her husband wants to be fed. Right? How would you like it if you got home from work and there was no dinner? And your wife said, I was just serving Krishna all day long.
No. My point is, if we serve Krishna 50% of our time,
yes.
Krishna will do service to our family.
Krishna will do service, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. But are we interested in Krishna serving us?
I have seen most of the time, experienced that in my life.
Krishna will look after you.
Yes.
And the family.
Yes.
Yeah, Krishna looks after the devotees, for sure. But why not? Why only 50%? That means Krishna will only look after you 50%. Huh?
50%.
Okay, so what are the principles here in offering everything to Krishna?
Shavasana principle.
Which is?
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Everything belongs to Krishna.
Including your mind, body, and words.
Including your mind, body, and words. Anybody like to add anything to that?
He's the ultimate enjoyer.
Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer.
Yes.
What about me?
He's
not
an angel, but it's better to keep him in your hands.
Give Krishna, and then what happens?
Well, that's what Prabhupada says, that is our best interest, because giving everything to him is in our best interest, not in Krishna's best interest. It's not for him.
It doesn't mean it. It's actually for us.
Yeah. Like
for us.
If we cook and just eat it, it's for our sense gratification.
Mm.
Other than that, if we offer to Krishna and then eat it,
then it's for our sense gratification.
It is also sense gratification.
Yeah, why not? That's actually okay.
We enjoy
prasadam. That's right. It's enjoyed as prasadam. I mean, for all of us, right? If I cook up a big meal, I say, here it is, Babu, for you. Will we eat it? Huh? We won't enjoy it. We say, here it's for you, it's been offered to Krishna. Oh, great! Krishna's enjoyed it first. Now, who enjoys eating bhoga here? You do. There's a couple. Three. Uh-oh, now it's starting to come out. We've got problems with you guys. 12.5% given to Krishna and you like to eat bhoga as well.
Sorry, bro, I thought
No, we like to take prasadam. We like to, you know, we won't. If it's not been offered, it's like, ooh, poison. Right? Practically speaking, if something's not been offered and you give it to a devotee, it's not. So like, what are you giving that to me for? How offensive? Almost, it's considered offensive. Okay, so what else? What else can we learn from this?
How can we practically be Krishna conscious?
How can we practically be Krishna conscious?
And watering the root is like watering the tree?
Watering the root is like what? Yeah. Nourishing the leaves and the flowers and the twigs and everything. Worshipping. Okay, I could go over those verses again, but I won't. And this builds on what we've just been discussing. What I want you to do is reflect on this. These two questions. If you can just listen carefully here for a moment. Meditate on this. Do I have full faith that by executing Krishna consciousness I will be elevated to the highest perfection? I wrote this up the other day, actually, but we didn't get to it. I'll write it up here. Do I have full faith that by executing KC I will be elevated to highest perfection? Now, that's the first thing. Second meditation is, in what way am I susceptible to deviation. Now, there is a verse that we studied Text 44. Bhogaishvarya prashaktanam taya parita chetasam viyavasaya mita buddhi samadho navadhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and are too opulent and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Got that? Text 44. If we're too distracted by material opulence or material enjoyment, then we can't remain fixed. In other words, we'll be deviated. Now, how does this relate to that? Or we can think of this in relationship to that verse. Right? So do I have full faith that by being a devotee, basically, I'll be elevated to the highest perfection? Right? I'm assuming that most of us are chanting 16 rounds a day or attempting as such. Right? So if you're doing that, then that means you generally, that's what we're trying to do, isn't it?
So what is the meaning of
susceptible? Susceptible means yes, or vulnerable. Vulnerable to deviation. Prone to deviation. Have a tendency towards. Or to be influenced by. Susceptible means like there's another influence coming from outside which tends to push us off. We want to go in this direction, but we're getting pushed off. Right? Now, here's what I would like you to do. Write down a sentence in response. This is personal. Don't have to share this with anybody. Right? Write down an answer, one sentence to this question. The first question. And then another sentence or two or three or four in relationship to the second question.